Okay, fund seekers, it's time to discuss investments for the masses, mutual funds. Investment companies is actually the legal term. Mutual funds are just one type of investment company. There are others. But these entities are so important. Why? Because the probability is very high that when you get a job in the real world and join the benevolent machine, you're going to be offered a retirement plan, a 401k, 403b. They go by various names. We'll discuss them more in detail in our last chapter. And the investment of choice will be mutual funds. Why? Because they just make so much more sense. We saw that stocks are pretty darn tricky. And we saw that bonds, they want a whole lot of money to invest in bonds. So what most of us do, most of us working grunts, is we buy our stocks and bonds through mutual funds. And there's a wonderful saying in the industry, mutual funds will bore you to wealth. They're not that exciting, but they're not supposed to be. Unlike stocks, which can be real exciting, but oh my goodness, how much money did I lose? Slide number two. What is a mutual fund? Well, a mutual fund is an investment chosen by people who pool their money together to buy stocks, bonds, and other financial securities. So, see, that's the idea of mutual, right? But the legal term, as we said, is investment company. Now, that makes so much more sense. You want shoes, you go to a shoe company. You want cars, you go to a car company. You want insurance, you go to an insurance company. You want investments, you go to an investment company. Don't go to an insurance company for investments. Because what they'll do is they'll turn around and give it to the mutual fund company and charge you twice. Why are mutual funds so popular? Well, there's two major reasons. You get instant diversification and professional money management. Now, there's some controversy about whether these professional money managers are worth their money. Some of them are, some of them aren't. You know, it's true of most everything. You know, there are quality mutual funds run by quality individuals, and then there are some that are not so quality. And each fund has a specific objective, as we'll discuss in our second presentation. There are over 12,000 funds to choose from. Are you serious? I mean, are there 12,000 different breakfast cereals in the store? Well, it seems like it. No, there aren't. Are there 12,000 different types of cars on the road? Why are there 12,000 different mutual funds? Well, there's a few different reasons for this explosion of mutual funds, and we'll discuss them in more detail as we move along. But just know that this is a very lucrative business, and everybody wants to manage your money for you, so they can charge you. Many people, as we said, will choose the mutual funds for their retirement account investments, 401ks, 403bs, traditional IRA, the Roth IRA, etc. Let's take a look at this. This should look familiar from our introduction to investments a few chapters ago. Here we are. We're the little people. And this is the extent of my graphics abilities, dear students. More and more of them are women because women are realizing that their grandmothers were, they're seeing what happened to their grandparents, their grandmothers, their mothers and the like. And they're saying, the young women are going, oh no, I ain't gonna do that. You know, abuelito told abuelita, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. And he didn't know what he was doing. And then he died, leaving her penniless. And so the Latinas are saying, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. So more and more investors are women. And we give our $50, $100 a month, more if we can afford it, to the people in the top hats. These are the mutual fund managers. These are the professional money managers that are paid a good salary. And luckily, more and more of them are women. That's a woman, dear students. And you, what did you say? Luckily, Payano? Yes, it's already been shown statistically, empirically, that women make better investors than men. I will leave that to your devices. You decide why that is. I'm not going to touch that one with a 39.5-foot pole. But it's already been shown that women make better investors in the aggregate, right? In the aggregate, obviously. And so these millions of people are giving billions of dollars to these money managers, and they create a pool of money, which I know kind of looks like a potato, but it's meant to be a pool, a mutual fund, the legal term being investment company. And these people, their job is to go out there and find good investments. If they buy stocks, it's called a stock mutual fund. Interesting how that works. If they buy bonds, it's called a bond mutual fund. And these are the two instruments that we looked at in chapters, this chapter on stocks, 12, and the chapter on bonds, 13. We used mutual funds. If they buy the short-term investments, it's called a money market mutual fund. But usually just people just use the term cash. We probably should put quotes around here. It's not really. They're not putting money under the mattress. But there are things like savings accounts, and they're called treasury bills and commercial paper or corporate paper, silly name. But those are short-term, very safe investments. And as we said in the previous chapter, that's what the goofballs at Silicon Valley Bank did. They should have put it here. They put it over here, and they got hammered in 2022. They should have put it in cash, and they put it in long-term bonds. And even though they're safe, they did lose value. Now, we begin to see the huge explosion of different types of mutual funds with a balance fund. And that's the example for the illustrations we're going to use in this chapter, a balance fund that invests in stocks and bonds. And so we get the benefits of each and the disadvantages of each. Cool? I think so. Make sure you understand how mutual fund works. We little people give our money to the professional money managers. They invest. Now, they don't buy 5 or 10 stocks or 5 or 10 bonds. They buy 150 or 200 or 500 stocks. And that gives us instant diversification. So we gave them $50. Well, 25 cents of it goes to Home Depot, and 15 cents of it goes to Nike, and 30 cents of it goes to Exxon. You see how that works? They take care of all the accounting. Don't worry. Why do investors purchase mutual funds? Well, as we said, the two major reasons are professional money management and diversification. Who is the fund's manager? Well, you have to be careful. It's getting better, but several years ago, for decades and before that, mutual fund managers would change often, kind of like, you know, celebrities or professional athletes and the like. My humble opinion, you look for an experienced management team that works together but makes their own decisions. And we'll discuss that in more detail later on. Diversification. The investors' funds are pooled and used to purchase a variety of investments. This variety provides some safety that is difficult but not impossible for individual investors to obtain on their own. Many people who buy stocks on their own will tell you, you know, once I got above 20 stocks, I started getting lost. It's too much to keep track of. So you really, as an individual person, can't spend that much time. You know, it takes time every week to keep track of your investments and watch what's going on. But the mutual fund managers, that's their job. And they have entire teams doing this. So that makes sense. They can buy 100 stocks and keep track of them. And most importantly, the PETA factor is low. PETA, I wish I had come up with this. This is from The Wealthy Barber, which is one of the books you should read for personal finance, even though it's kind of out of date. The numbers are all wrong, but the concepts are timeless. PETA, pain in the... yeah, right. Once you've chosen a mutual fund, that's the most difficult part about mutual funds, is choosing which ones. There are just so many, and they're all spending gobs of money marketing themselves so that they will attract your attention, and you'll go with them. Once you've chosen the mutual fund, it's actually very easy. There's nothing more for you to do. Just make sure the $50 or $100 comes out of your paycheck or out of your checking account every month, and they do the work. They charge you, but they do the work for you. And that's why mutual funds make sense for the masses. Look at the growth of the industry. Now, The 2023 fact book should be coming out any day now. It comes out usually in May, or this is May 5th. This is Cinco de Mayo. So we should be seeing the new one coming out pretty soon. But notice in 1940, when the Investment Company Act of 1940 was created, which is still used today, to this day, there were 70 mutual funds already in existence. 30 years later, 350. 1980, there were 600. And then look, between 1980 and 1990, from 600 to 2,000. And then from 1990 to the year 2000, they went from 2,000 to 9,000. Yeah, the 1990s, that were the go-go years, folks. We're all going to get rich, rich, rich. Blue skies. The market went up in two directions, up and way up. And then went down 3 years in a row. And since then, we've added another 3,000 to our list of mutual funds. Yeah. Well, we're going to see that this is the most difficult part of mutual funds, is deciding which one you want to buy. Oof. How do you buy them, by the way? Well, you can go through a broker, but you're going to be paying some way. You're going to be paying the broker for their services. Or you can go directly to the investment company. The best way, in my humble opinion, whether you go through your broker, through your investment company directly, or possibly through your employer-sponsored plan, your retirement plan at work, is automatic contributions. Dollar cost averaging. What a dumb name, but a very cool concept. $50 a month, $100 a month. You don't worry about when the best time to invest, when's the worst time to invest. Every month is a good time to invest $50 or $100 or more if you have it, or less if you have it, $25. It's up to you. Then when you go to sell it, you call up your broker, or you go right to the mutual fund website, or use your smell phone or whatever. And my humble opinion is, when you're ready to retire, to take this money out automatically. Every month, they now start electronically putting money into your checking account. So here's the deal, right? You automatically invest $50 or $100 per month for 30 years or 40 years, and then you automatically withdraw $2,000 or $3,000 per month for the rest of your life. Sound good? Oh, wait a minute. Did I mention there are no guarantees? Be sure to read the fine print. So what I want you to do eventually, not necessarily now, right now, but by the end of our chapter 14, presentations, is take a look at the illustrations and see what a long-term investment program in mutual funds can do, this time using a balanced fund. So in chapter 12, we used a growth fund, a stock fund. In the chapter 13, we used a bond fund. And in chapter 14, we're going to use a balanced fund, which invests in stocks and bonds. So stick with us. Now, why are there 12,000 mutual funds? Well, one of the big reasons is they're making money, folks. It's not a non-profit organization. And every mutual fund, well, actually, there's a couple of exceptions thanks to the marketing prowess of Fidelity Investments. But every mutual fund has annual operating expenses, which are charged yearly based on the percentage of the fund's asset value. And this is how the mutual fund finances their operation. It ranges from a low of less than 0.5% a year to 2% or more a year. So let's see. If it's 0.5%, that's 50 cents for every $100 you have in the account. If it's 1%, that's a dollar for every $100 you have in the account. And if it's 2%, that's $2 for every $100 you have in the account. Sound like a lot of money? Well, once you get above 1 or 2%, yeah, it is. But when you're less than 1%, which is what I, you know, all other things being equal, and of course they never are, when you're shopping for a mutual fund, you would want at least less than 1%. Now, there are some mutual funds that have extremely low fees. They're called index funds, and some of them are ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that will have low fees. Now, be careful. Some of them have higher fees, especially the ones that insurance companies offer in retirement plans, in the 401k plans. They will sneak these high fee, high cost index funds into your 401k plan, and it's pure profit. They're getting a kickback from that, folks. It's sick, but it's part of our industry. Now, let's say you decide you want to have a broker, a financial advisor, whatever you want to call us. The old way of charging people was to compensate them via a sales commission, a sales load. But now, the modern day way to soak your clients, I'm sorry, to charge for financial services is to have a wrap account, a wealth management account, tack on an additional fee for financial advisory services. And you wind up spending more than if you just paid the commission. Not all funds charge a commission. Now, a lot of them are no load, but you have to be careful because if they have high annual operating expenses, a no load fund, no commission fund, can wind up costing you more than a commission fund because of the high annual operating expenses. Slide number 8. Now, I know this is a lot of information, so what you really should do is print this puppy out. It's on the study guide, of course, because I'm going to ask you on the exam. But more importantly, we in the industry have done our best to confuse people so that they don't understand how they're being charged, which is unfortunate, but it's part of our industry. Remember, we're going to insult everybody by the end of the semester, by the end of our time together. The old way of doing way, and some of us still believe in this, yours truly being the one, is a front-end load, Class A. If you believe you need the services of a broker, the Class A shares will wind up over the long term, assuming you're a buy and hold kind of investor. You don't want to buy and sell and buy and sell. And that's why you're buying mutual funds, right? You want them to do that. Are the Class A shares, sometimes called Class 1 shares. They have an upfront fee. Okay. A sales charge, a sales load, a sales commission. And that's how the financial advisor gets paid. Well, people weren't too excited about that. So they created this Class B shares, which have a back-end load. Well, now, wait a minute. What difference does it make if you charge me up front or charge me on the back end? Relax, sit down, relax. Let's talk about this. There's no problem here. You see, if you hold on to the mutual fund for 4 years, 5 years, or 6 years, which is what you should do, right? You're a long-term investor, right, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Investing Public? Oh, yes, we are, Mr. Broker, Miss Broker. Then you don't get charged that back-end fee. It's called a contingent deferred sales charge. Isn't that a great name? Contingent. I love it. When you say contingent, you can feel your throat vibrating. It's like lumpia, which is very tasty also. It's like lumpia. Anyway, people didn't like that either. So they came up with the Class C share, which the brokers used to call no load, but the Securities and Exchange Commission said, no, you got to call them load funds. Because what they do is they don't have an upfront fee, they don't have a back-end fee, but they charge you higher annual operating expenses in perpetuity, or for a long time. I like that word, perpetuity. You get to spit on your friends when you say it. So the Securities and Exchange Commission said, you can't call these Class C shares no load funds, because the load is being stretched out. The load is being amortized. It's a fancy word for being spread out over 10 years or even longer. Okay, so I don't want an upfront fee. I don't want a back-end fee. I don't want higher annual operating expenses. And your broker says, no problem, sit down. For you, we have the advisor no load, the wrap account, the wealth management account, assets under management. They go by various names, Class F, Class I, Class FI, or just advisor shares, sometimes called clean shares as opposed to dirty shares. Well, folks, don't believe it. It's a total lie. You're going to be charged 1 up to 2% a year on top of the annual operating expenses, and that money goes to the brokerage firm. If you're a broker, oh my goodness, what you would love to have clients, long-term clients, and charging them 1 or 2% a year. because you're going to wind up making a whole lot more money than if you just charged them the sales commission and kept them in the investment for. If you're the kind of person who wants to buy and sell and buy and sell, then you're going to spend a ton of money either way. So you might as well go with the wrap account with the assets under management account. But there's a reason that's called the loser's game. I would heartily, strongly recommend that you don't do that. Find, as we're going to see, we're going to look at, say, some very good mutual funds that have been around for decades and just stick with them. Yeah, it's boring. Bore you to have wealth. That's what these mutual funds will do. Now, another category is called true no-load funds. Now, we put the word true in quotes because it's not a legal term or anything. It's just they are mutual funds that don't charge you an upfront fee, don't charge you a back-end fee, don't charge you higher annual operating expenses, although some do. You've got to be careful. They may not have a 12B1 fee greater than, what is this? This is, stay away from that. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to ask you that. But that's how the Securities Exchange Commission determines that it's not a load fund. They look at this fee called a 12B1 fee. But that doesn't mean the overall fees are low. Some no-load funds have upwards of 2%, especially smaller ones. And there's a reason for that, economies of scale and the like. So are you confused yet? Good. We've done our job here. No, I hope not. But go back and listen to it over again. And please, when you take the exam, make sure you have that study sheet or print this slide out, because I want you to know it. In the Business 123 Introduction to Investments class, we go into even more detail. And if you want to, it's chapter 2. It's on the website. Go to Business 123 Introduction to Investments and go through the presentation for chapter 2, the second presentation in chapter 2. And you'll see that it's very complicated, overly complicated, in my humble opinion. But hey, what can I say? And about 10 or 12 years ago, there was still some controversy over whether we should move from the Class A shares to the Class F shares. But now most all brokers are going to charge you the Class F shares. Plus, they want you to have at least $100,000 or $500,000 if they want to talk to you, right? And so I'm at this seminar with a bunch of other brokers, and we're all dressed up in our suits. I wore my suit. And we're discussing this, and I added to the conversation, well, I really don't believe that these advisor no-load wrap accounts, assets under management accounts, are really in the best interest of long-term prudent investors. You're going to wind up spending a lot more. At least the investor is going to wind up spending a lot more. And this guy in this gorgeous suit, I mean, it must have cost at least $1,000, beautiful hair, he had all the teeth capped and everything. And he just looked at me and said, what are you worried about? You send them a bottle of wine on their birthday, take them to the steakhouse, take them golfing. They'll love you. And dear students, you have to know that I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I didn't know what to say. I wasn't going to argue with the guy and tell him, well, that's not what I said. I didn't say whether they would love you or not. I said whether we're serving them better. I just shut up. I just said, okay, it's best for me to shut up. I'm not in my element. I don't normally wear suits. I don't normally hobnob with people, with clients that have millions of dollars. So there you have it, folks. That's what you're up against. Keep your back to the wall, your head down low, and you got to find somebody. If you want an advisor, find somebody you trust. Get a good referral. Okay. Now, make sure you understand this, because again, we're going to ask you on the exam, but you're the financial guru for your friends and family, so you have to know it. When we come back, oh my goodness, we're going to try to do the impossible. We're going to try to get our arms around this 800-pound marshmallow that is the mutual fund industry. So print out that study guide, because we got even more stuff to learn and internalize. And be awesome. See you in our next presentation when we take a look at the different types of mutual funds. Just scratching the surface.